We've got the Flaming Idiots right now in the studio. Woo-hoo. How you guys doing?
All right, yeah. Brendan.
Fabulous, Mike.
Yes, yes. Flaming Idiots, as you may know, are going to be performing tomorrow night at the Howard Auditorium.
That's right. 7:30. Yes.
7:30.
Yeah,
no
be there.
Yeah.
If you've never seen the Flaming Idiots before, you're gonna have to check them out tomorrow. Tickets are still on sale for that, so definitely check that out. Basically, you guys are the Flaming Idiots. How did you guys come to be the Flaming Idiots? How did you form the Flaming Idiots?
There was a Renaissance Festival outside of Dallas called Scarborough Fair, and we were all working there as actors. And we thought we'd put together something and go out and do it for a summer. Didn't think it would last, beyond that. We didn't really give it much thought, really, but it just took off. We were successful at it, and the bookings came in, and we decided to do it another summer. And before you knew it, it's what we did.
So basically, we got started a lot like the Beatles did.
Oh, yeah. Very much like the Beatles.
The Beatles used to work a lot of country festivals in England.
That's right.
Yeah. Summers. Right. And it caught on for them, too.
Right. And as soon as we finished doing Renaissance festivals, the first year, we went out and did a lot of, like, low-level clubs in Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, we're more popular than the Beatles.
Yeah. In Germany.
Oh, in Germany. Yeah. So you guys have toured all around the world?
No.
No.
No, we've actually never been to Germany. No, we go all around the States. We've been up through Canada. We've performed in Mexico and England. So basically anywhere they speak English and Mexico.
Which was pretty rough. We did do a show there, and almost nobody spoke English, and they were just – it was okay when we'd be getting stuff right, but when something would go a little bit astray and we'd try to be funny just to cover it up, the jokes just weren't flying. It was a rough, rough show.
So it's a little barrier there for you.
A little barrier, yep. NAFTA did not help the jugglers.
How'd you come up with the name, the Flaming Idiots?
Sort of an English expression. I swear I heard it on Monty Python or Benny Hill or some English comedy thing like that when I was a kid. But for the life of me, I haven't heard it since then, but I swear I heard it when I was a kid. And I thought Flaming Idiots, it just sounded funny, and we thought we would do an all-fire show, and we ate fire and set our hands on fire and did lots of fire tricks at the beginning. Now we don't do as much firework. We focused on the comedy more. We realized in that first year that comedy was really our forte.
So all the fire stuff. I know I saw you guys back at a Renaissance Festival years ago, and it was a lot of fire, a lot of juggling. Were you guys pyromaniacs as kids or something? How did the fire come to be?
I've melted a few G.I. Joes when I was a kid, stuffed them with Coleman gas and Kleenexes and burned them to the ground. And now I'm sure they would have been worth hundreds of dollars, but they were fun for a few minutes as a child.
We used to make our own gunpowder and film little movies when I was a kid. Yeah, that sort of
nothing
thing.
Nothing that OSHA would approve of.
I was an altar boy. Just, so everyone knows, I was an altar boy. So I didn't play with fire.
Just the incense.
Yeah. Little incense, no fire. They really instilled in me to be afraid of the fire. Be afraid of the fire. As an altar boy, you don't go to the fire.
Let's not make any more altar boy jokes, okay?
Okay.
So let's see. You guys got your. How did you get your big start doing what you're doing? I believe from what all my research I did, it's Renaissance festivals.
Yeah, that was the springboard for us, and we did those. That was our bread and butter work for a long time, and then we went up and we did fringe theater festivals up in Canada, which are these theater festivals. They run for about 10 days in the downtown part of a city, and maybe 13 theater venues will be running from noon to midnight 10 days in a row. So you got lots and lots of performance opportunity, and that's where we first started to do the show in theaters, and it was really successful. The transition from being a street act where you'd gather your audience in the street and pass the hat at the end of the show and that's how you made your money, from that to working in theaters was fairly seamless for us, and we had success right off the bat, and that taught us that the show can work there, and so that's the direction we've been heading. And about 3 years ago we decided to absolutely cut all festival work out of our schedule and just do theater shows, and it's been a great transition for it. We got a spot off Broadway a couple years ago, and now we've got a return to Broadway, and that's why we're here in Ruston. We're on our way up to New York City to do the show off Broadway at the New Victory Theater in New York City, New York.
Yes, wow. Ruston is the springboard to Broadway now.
It is.
That would be something if you started a trend and more acts came to Ruston to preview their stuff.
Yeah, Boston, Chicago, Ruston. That's the trifecta of theater tryouts.
All right, I think we got a great thing here, but we got to go to Ruston to see if it'll work.
Yeah, you've become the test audience.
Now, actually, Mark Gwynn, who's a professor here in the theater department, actually works for for us is a technical director. He's our technical director for the show, and so we're mounting the entire show we're going to be doing up in New York for the first time here in lovely Ruston.
Brand new set, brand new costumes, a bunch of new material. Set. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of new stuff, and yeah, we're excited. It's the first big showing of it for us, too, so it should be great.
So is he going to be going up with you to New York?
Yeah, he'll be there for the first week, what's considered tech week. He'll make sure everything gets hung right and all the lights are focused and help us out with the technical things. And then after we open up, after opening day, he'll be flying back.
Excellent.
So you'll get your teacher back.
Have no fear. Let's see. You said you're going to be debuting some new stuff. The people that have seen you in the past for the Renaissance festivals and everything, what can they expect if they've seen you before? Or you even came to Tech, I believe, 2 years ago and performed.
Yeah, we did 2 or 3 years here. We did 2 years at least.
Yeah. This will be our fourth time at Louisiana Tech.
Fourth
time.
Well, some of the stuff you'd have seen before, you know, we don't want to change it all at the same time. So there's some of the old stuff, but a lot of new stuff and some really big departures for us. Again, moving the show from the festival market into the theater market, it was like we felt liberated artistically, like we can, all right, do whatever you want. And you've got the lights, you've got the sound, you've got all these things you can play with. And so we decided to play with them. So you're seeing some dramatically different stuff. What are some of the things we do?
We have a big animation piece where it starts with animation from space, and our arch nemesis attacks us, and we morph into these giant hands, and it's all a piece that's after the animation is done in black light, and it's basically two hands and a face, and we have these five large juggling balls, and it's so huge, and all you see are basically the puppets, and you don't see us at all, so it makes a really nice effect.
And a ring juggling routine that takes up we're bouncing them off of a box, and it's some really brilliant original juggling. You got to see that one. That's a great new routine.
And we're actually going to dance this year. We never before have the Flaming Idiots had a dance routine, and you know, we watched NSYNC, we watched, you know, the Backstreet Boys, and we thought, hey, if those young punks can do it,
we old punks can do it.
Yeah,
that's why we're trying it here in Ruston. Because if it goes well, we're going to do it on Broadway. But if it doesn't, congratulations, Ruston. You were the only one to ever see us dance,
and you shot us down. You saved us from imminent despair.
Right. Yeah, that I got to see. I'll definitely be there to see that, if nothing else.
We put that at the top of the show, so in case it does go bad, we've got a lot of room there to make up for it.
Yeah, you might want to put that at the end so people don't walk out. Yeah. But
yeah, we're probably doing probably 50% new material, at least from the last time we were here.
Oh yeah, easily.
At least, yeah. And last time we were here, we were just doing like a 45-50 minute show in the in the cafeteria or something, and now we're doing about a 9,500 minute show with an intermission in
Howard
the
Auditorium.
Howard Auditorium.
Yeah, that name's going to be familiar to everybody after you guys leave. You're going to set your mark, and then, the Flaming Idiots played there.
That's the building they burned down, dude. I heard the Flaming Idiots were here. See that charred husk? Dude, that's where the Flaming Idiots burned the thing to the ground.
Well, since you guys got your start playing Renaissance festivals, basically, where would you say is the best Renaissance festival in the country, having toured a lot of them?
Oh, well,
Ruston.
But that's all year round.
Yeah.
Right. Set your watch back 500 years.
No, it's probably the one in Houston is, if not the best. The different ones have different things that are good about them, but the one that's in Houston, the Texas Renaissance Festival, is a great one. It's within the top three, and it's beautiful grounds, and it's a great place to work, so it's a good one.
Yeah.
There's a nice one in Minneapolis, very nice one, and Scarborough Fair, which is in Dallas, is our home fair where we all met.
And it's nice.
But they're very friendly.
Yeah, if you're looking to do a show, I'd call them. They got space.
You got any cool show memories or anything? Any weird things that happened before in your past experiences doing Flaming Idiot stuff?
Yeah, tons of stuff. Let's see.
Once had a chicken walk through the stage.
Yeah. Three times.
There's outdoor performing for you.
Yeah.
I liked it better when they worked with the goat.
Yeah, when we were in England street performing, we had these just radical skinheads come through the show and start flipping us off. And again, that's street performing. In street performing, you have no control. It's like you've got to be ready for just anarchy in the streets. It's just, you know, it'll just come your way. There's no fighting it, and you have to be able to comedically embrace whatever it is that comes along. If sirens, if a ambulance comes roaring behind your show, you have to be able to handle that. And we oh, yeah. I recently, I stood on this guy from the audience, and you've seen the show before, right? So there's this routine. I get a guy up from the audience. I climb on his back. I stand up on his shoulders and juggle fire. And we recently did the show up in Colorado, and I get this guy up to stand on his shoulders. And when he's coming up to the stage, I realize the man is missing one of his legs, but he doesn't have a prosthetic leg so much as he has the old-fashioned prosthetic leg, which is a peg leg.
Arr!
Which I thought, well, that could make it difficult to stand on the guy, but I had no idea how difficult it was going to make it. And the guy, I kept trying to give the guy an out, like, if you want to leave, you can leave. He never said, I want to leave. He was ready to do it. And this guy he was a huge, muscular man, probably 300 pounds, linebacker kind of guy. But with that peg leg, he just had no balance. Little me, 130 pounds, I jump on his back, and we almost went down. It was like I was just tackling the guy. But we got through it. It was tricky, but we got through it. We've almost set fire to a couple of buildings, haven't we?
Yeah.
Unless a fire marshal is listening to this.
Yeah.
In which case,
we've never set fire to anything.
Nothing. No.
Nothing.
Not even a juggling torch.
No.
When we were in Texas once, we had a big fire going on behind us, and we didn't even know about it. Nobody said anything. We turned around, and we said, oh, I wonder what this big burn mark is. And we watched the videotape, and it actually was a fire.
Yeah.
But not unless you're a fire marshal.
Right. From Abilene.
So has there ever been any goof-up, mess-ups in your sets that were really turned out to be funny? Anything like that you can remember?
You know, just juggling a lot. We do some complex juggling with pins and stuff, and you drop. You will drop. You try enough hard things, eventually you will drop. So we've gotten very good at covering our drops with very funny moments. That's just a natural evolution of the show, that if you're not good enough to hit it every time, you better be funny enough to cover every time you don't hit it.
So we get a lot of comedy workout.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the funniest mistakes I remember is Rob and John, my partners, were having a sword fight, and they went all the way off stage, and then they went around the back of the stage, theoretically still having a sword fight, but neither one of them were fighting. We had a stagehand just kind of clacking two swords together. And then they were supposed to jump in on the other side of the stage, and when they did, the stagehand was still clacking the swords together. And they stopped, and they looked off stage, and John said, union help. And it was so funny. She apologized so profusely afterwards. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. We said, no, you're doing that every night now. That's in the show.
Keep it. That's funny. That's funny. They love that in Ruston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to try all that new stuff out here.
And, I mean, we have other things, you know, here and there go wrong when we crack whips. Sometimes I've missed with the whip cracking and hit their hands, and that's kind of funny to me. And,
yeah,
real funny.
We do a straitjacket escape where a guy from the audience falls backwards at the end, and we've got to be out of the straitjackets in time to catch him. And we've had guys there. The audience counts from 25 to 0, and at 0 he's supposed to fall. We had a guy fall at 5 once.
Oh, no.
We were nowhere near out of those jackets, and it was just out of the corner of your eyes you realize he's falling, and so... just turned just in time to catch the guy. I don't know what he was thinking.
He would not have had a lawsuit. Yeah. We told him 0. He opted for 5 himself.
Mm-hmm. By his own free will. That act has always gone according to plan, because that's one that does seem kind of dangerous. You guys run around in a straitjacket trying to get out on time.
Yeah, that's the whole idea.
Mm-hmm.
You got to push it to the end. Yeah.
That's right.
And of course it's never gone wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No.
No volunteer has ever hit the ground.
Hard.
But we're here to talk about positive things.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, lots of positive things. Let's see. Actually, a positive thing. I heard on your discussion board, and actually I think I remember seeing it on TV, one of you guys has a world record?
That's right. I set a world record for the fastest bologna sandwich made with the feet. That's right. And that was a routine we came up with. We were doing this improv show at Scarborough Fair, and we were just churning through the material. Every at the end of every fair day, we would get together with the other performers and try to come up with something crazy to do every day, and so you're just every idea you could possibly think of during the week, and you'd be trucking it out there that weekend. And that was one of the ideas, was to make a sandwich with the feet. And it went off well enough that it made it its way into the regular show. And then it just started to kind of take off. And
then Guinness called.
That was it. That was one of the phone calls it got, was to go on the Guinness show and do it. And,
he's also done it on the Leno Tonight Show with Jay Leno and
Johnny Marie when Donny they had Marie. Their little show and
Roseanne
show too, right?
And, he has fed the stars, bologna sandwich maker of the stars.
How did you come up with that? What inspired you to make a bologna sandwich with your feet?
Well, he wasn't going to eat it.
Right.
He had the bologna, and he had to get rid of it somehow.
I was at a Burger King, and I saw the condition of this guy's hands, and I said, those are dirtier than my feet. And I said, I can make food with my feet. No, I don't know why I thought of it. It's not like I broke both my arms skiing or anything interesting like that. It just kind of came up, and... But doing it on the Guinness show, they're actually really strict about the world record thing. They measure everything, the bologna, the cheese, the distance of everything on the cutting board, everything, so that if I get challenged, which I don't know why anyone would challenge that, but if someone does, they've got it measured down to the last little inch.
Yeah, here, we challenge Rustin. Somebody from Rustin has got to go break his record.
You hear that, Rustin?
We're talking to you, Rustin.
That's right.
Less than 2 minutes.
We've thrown down the gauntlet.
I am the baloney champion of the world.
You think you can do better than that? You think you got it part of you? You're nothing. You're worthless and weak. You can't make baloney sandwiches faster than me. I dare you. Minute 57. Minute 57. That's, right. That's your time to beat, folks.
Actually, we threw down the sock, I think. It's
the World Baloney Federation.
WBF.
The challenge is out. Do you guys listen to music?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
What kind of music do you like?
Well, let's see. I think what we played on the way up here, we came across a great old radio station on the way here. It's like nothing but, oh, man, it was all these 80s. It's Jukebox Hero. That's what we had.
Well,
because if you play the radio and you start to get out into the boonies, and it's like what is that?
Geopolitical?
No, the thing that like finds you wherever you are in the...
Oh, GPS.
Global positioning satellite system, because it's like the further you get from civilization, the more Jethro Tull you can get on your radio. And sure enough, man, we were getting it all. Jethro Tull, lover boy. It's like, oh, we are in the sticks now. Oh, yeah, give me a mullet and a Camaro. Here we go.
So that's what you guys pretty much do, touring around. You just pick up
just
the local radio and
radio,
see what's going on.
Where you are. Oh, it's nothing but evangelists. Where are we?
Louisiana?
Could be.
Hey, did that say the birthplace of Elvis?
personal taste. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff. You know, I mean, from old jazz, Louis Armstrong, Bix Beiderbecke, stuff like that, to Cake. I like Cake. Anybody else?
I like Cookie.
I'm mostly a blues fan. I like old Delta blues. Although I love a lot of new music. I mean, you know, Smash Mouth, and there's a lot of great stuff coming out now.
Anything from the mid-90s, he really digs.
I miss Flock of Seagulls. I just have to say that. I miss Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah, they don't play enough deep cuts from Flock of Seagulls. It's all like the hit tracks. I want a deep cut.
Yeah, give me something I can dance to.
B-side.
Y'all are very alone there.
Yes.
Sarcasm
is a support group. I go to the support group on Thursdays, and all three of us show up.
Flock of Seagulls Anonymous there.
FLA.
That's right. All right. Tomorrow's show, tomorrow night, what are people in for if they're just tuning in or whatever? What are people in for if they've never seen you guys before?
They've never seen us. Well, I mean, to sum it up in like the short version, I guess you'd say it's a three-man comedy variety show with it's lots of comedy, but it's also lots of physical skills, juggling, whip cracking, straitjacket escapes, lots of audience participation. But that never sums it up as much as we'd like it to be.
It's kind of like the Marx Brothers and P.T. Barnum had a love child.
And we do amazing thing with lawn equipment. We are going to be doing things with lawn equipment that everybody's going to go home and try and upset their parents.
Yeah, it's going to be a very funny show. Going to see some great physical manipulation. I mean, some great juggling, whip cracking, straitjacket escapes. Animation, leaf blowers.
I do a new thing with my feet. I do this. I'm going to do the sandwich routine here, but I write with all of my limbs at the same time. So with my right hand and my right foot, I'm writing normally from left to right. With my left hand and my left foot, I'm writing in a mirror image from right to left, and I do it all at the same time.
Wow, that's got to be impressive.
Yeah, you got to see it.
Wow.
To demonstrate some of these things, too, we've had to get a video camera to be part of the show because it's just too hard to display it to an audience, so we have to enhance the image with videos.
We're multimedia.
This definitely sounds like a step up from the street shows and the Renaissance shows.
A few steps.
But we loved it. You know, working in the street, the first place we performed at was at Mardi Gras in New Orleans in Jackson Square. And that being in the street, like, it's a great place to learn what you do because, like we were talking about earlier, you're one with the audience. There's no barrier between you, and you get used to handling any moment that comes along, and it developed your comedy licks really well. So happy to be from there, but happy to be here.
Yeah, the street really teaches you not to have a lot of dead space in your show. So our show's pretty tight. There's not a lot of dead moments in it. You know, it's coming from the street, coming from the theater background, you may take moments and really try to have this whole theme behind it, but we're all about entertainment.
It's razzle-dazzle.
And now we just, you know, take all the trappings of theater and use that.
Can you spin one in one direction and one in the other direction?
So are we still going to expect a lot of juggling and things like that tomorrow night?
Oh, definitely. Oh,
yeah, for sure. I mean, we've spent years getting good at that sort of stuff, so...
We're not walking away from it now.
For sure. No, we've got some cool juggling you're going to see.
All right.
Which I know, it's like one should cancel the other out. You know, cool juggling. Mm. It doesn't really fly, but really, really... Cool juggling, I swear.
Yeah, if they haven't seen you before, it really is cool juggling.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny juggling, too.
Yeah, it's not what people think of. It's not like a circus, you know,
right.
Not like clowns.
It's not a kid's show, you
not
know.
Not that there's
right.
anything wrong with those things.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really a kid's show, but kids can come and they'll certainly enjoy it. I mean,
yeah.
If you could be 80, you could be 8, and you're going to get something out of this show. I mean, a lot of times, especially the college-age market, I think sometimes they go, juggling, man, that sounds really geeky. But no, they'd like it, too. There's some, you know, it's a pretty hip show, all in all.
It's like kind of a mix. It's got sort of a stand-up comedy sort of feel to it, but also a sketch comedy, Saturday Night Live sort of feel to it, as well as some really unique physical skills.
Yeah, some great music.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a hot club jazzy sort of sound to it.
All right. Well, I definitely encourage everybody to come out and see you guys tomorrow night. I'm hoping the show sells out. There's a packed audience and everything.
Right on.
It's going to be great. I think that's all I've got for you guys. You got anything to say to Rustin?
Thanks for bringing us back over and over again. It's our fourth trip here, and we're looking forward to our fifth.
Sorry I hit the possum on the way to home from the liquor store.
I think they've got more, though.
It was crossing the road. I'm so sorry.
It happens all the time.
I think it made it.
Yeah, I made it.
All right, well, here are the Flaming Idiots on Rustin, KLPI Rustin. Definitely check out their show tomorrow night. Have you guys heard Tenacious D before? Anything by them?
Yeah. That's Jack Black, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right on.
So we're going to be playing Wonder Boy right now from them. It's pretty much all I could think of that would go along with this interview right now. So you're being followed by Tenacious D.
Yeah.
All right.
So here it is. All right.